portable.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show. You can bring up whatever you'd like toll free at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll free line. As we launch into hour number two of the program, it's Ian here with you.
And Toby.
And Mark.
1-800-259-9231. Join us on our website. FreeTalkLive.com is the place to go. The features there completely free. So enjoy those on us. Again, that's freetalklive.com. We're in the middle of an email here, and we'll bring you up to speed. Essentially, it's somebody who has heard us talking about marketizing certain government services. Services that, as you put it last hour, Toby, sort of we've always thought they should be handled by the government because, well, they always have been, at least in our lifetimes.
Right.
And so, you know, should we just go through our lives presuming that should be the case, or should we look at some other options? Should we take a look at what would happen if we put things like police protection in the hands of people in search of profit as opposed to government bureaucrats? Now, the fact is, government bureaucrats, just like anybody else, are after money, right? They want to make some money, too, which is why that you see they enforce speeding tickets and stop sign regulations and the war on drugs and other things where they can actually get their hands on valuables, cars and houses in the cases of asset forfeiture, or in some cases just cash, pulling people over on the side of the road. For instance, there's some stories of one old lady had taken her life savings and was driving from one point to another with it. She got pulled over, and the cops thought it was drug money. They snatched it.
Well, they thought it was drug money.
Good luck getting it
back.
Some
police departments have a policy of confiscating money. That's just what they do.
Right.
Yeah, under federal law, I believe, under something in the Patriot Act, if you have over a certain amount of cash, it's forfeitable.
I think it's at least $10,000, if I'm not mistaken. But if you got less than $10,000, they might take it anyway.
Is it really a free country if you can't carry around $10,000? I'm just wondering. Is it?
I know. I bought a car once for $11,000, and I paid in cash. I went and I got it out of the bank, and I drove across state lines with it because I got my car in another state. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm lucky I didn't get pulled over because that would have been a major bummer.
They take the cash in Bradenton, Florida. There's a form that they have. It's this mm-hmm. form. If you've got a couple $1,000s in cash, they'll take your cash from you and say, "Look, we're not going to charge you with any crimes unless you know. If you sign this form, we're not going to charge you with anything." And then you sign the form, which essentially it says. And I've read the form. It says that you're waiving any right to a trial. You're waiving any right to bring any charges about this. You waive all of your rights, and you give us this cash, or you give us whatever it is that we're confiscating, and then we let you go. And, of course, most people, you know, they just want to be let go. Right, they wipe their brow and they're saying, "Thank goodness I didn't have to go to jail today," and after they just got robbed. And so, you know, there's story after story of how bad government police can be. And so when I propose something like letting the marketplace handle policing, a lot of people end up getting a little bit frightened. They get a little concerned, and rightfully so. It sounds kind of scary. But actually, in reality, bringing competition into the world of policing would do a whole lot to make things make our lives a lot safer. Safer from the police as well, because when you have to satisfy your customers as opposed to just collecting a paycheck every week, regardless of how good a job you're doing, when you have to satisfy your customers, there's a whole new level of appreciation that'll come into play from the people that you're doing business with, as opposed to people being frightened to death of answering the door to a police officer. You're going to want to talk to these guys.
Well, there's a lot of people. I would say most people in America don't feel any fear. Most people don't feel much fear from police officers. Now, if they're on the
you mean most of the respectables,
right?
There are a lot of people that are poor people, and they absolutely fear the police.
Sure. Those people, unfortunately, because for some reason or another, simply don't vote. They don't get out there. They don't express their opinion. So their opinion doesn't matter. That doesn't make the enforcement of laws against them right or wrong or anything. You know, it doesn't make it right. It just, you know, they're just not represented properly. Whereas
there's no one to represent them.
I'm likely never to have any problems with police. Do I get good service? Every time I've ever dealt with a police officer, sometimes it's tickets, sometimes I've had things stolen and all that other stuff, and largely, I don't feel like they've done anything. Now they take many it down people. A report, and they go away, and you'll never see your stuff again.
Every time I've filled out something because I've lost my wallet or had my... I didn't know if I lost or stole it when I filled the report out, and I just felt this incredible loss of time.
Yeah.
Nothing else.
Like, what good did this do?
Right. They gave you a form to fill out so you'd feel a little better about your stuff. Something's been done now, and here you can give this to your insurance company, and you'll never see whatever it is again.
Right.
Because, well, we've got tickets to give out. You know, and there's people with drugs that we have to, confiscate their stuff.
The priorities are all messed up. And certainly the priorities could be changed under a government paradigm, but the priorities would certainly change under a market-based paradigm. And that's where we want to go. But let's continue with some of these questions here. Some good questions coming in from Ezra via the email box. He says, who enforces ownership? Now, he's just sort of talking about the judicial system and the police in his questioning here. Well, first of all, there would be different ways of showing that you own things. Obviously, if it's in your house, you own the house. The things that are in that house are yours. If you really want to, you could certainly put some sort of a stamp on the things that are yours in order to identify them. For instance, if you've gone to certain industrial locations, maybe schools, they usually have their little tags on the things that they own. At the TV station that we work at, with Toby Show, Free Minds TV, which you can see at freemindstv.com, they've got tags on all of the things that are in there that are very difficult to remove, and you know that those are owned by that company.
Receipts,
deeds, sure.
Titles, those kind of things. I mean, those are essentially how you show ownership currently.
Right.
And it's
technology is moving in other directions, too, with RFIDs. I know you buy pets nowadays, and they're if you buy them from certain pet stores, they're coming with a little RFID chip showing ownership that you own that pet.
That's true. There's another great point. But he's asking who enforces it.
All right, yeah.
And if there is a dispute, basically it would be, my claim versus your claim. And
right.
I've got to...
Who enforces it now? I mean, there's all kind. Besides my car and my house, I don't have a piece of paper outlining my ownership of, say, my television,
sure,
or maybe more accurately, my bicycle, which is chained up outside my house. Somebody could come along with a pair of bolt cutters and get my bicycle.
Right.
How am I going to prove that that's mine?
It's a great point.
No one's enforcing ownership
most
currently.
Most of these things, that's a good point, and most of those things are such small ticket items that...
This bicycle is not, but...
But, $300 for a bicycle, is it worth going...
Go up from there.
Okay, well, is it worth going to court for something? Mine's $300, okay? That was how much mine cost. Is it worth going and spending the time and the effort to try to prove that that was indeed yours? Items that are worth that, you will want to take precautions with. So if you've spent $1,000 or $2,000 on a bicycle, spend the extra $100 and get some sort of engraving done to where you'll have a way of identifying it if indeed you're concerned about theft.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it's one claim versus another,
and then
take a
photograph of that engraving so that if somebody grinds that engraving off,
sure,
then you can say, hey, look, here's the photograph of that in that spot.
It's clear that from that you would have done your due diligence. You would have done everything you possibly could to prove that it's yours. But essentially, if there were a dispute, if I were to steal your bicycle and you were to accuse me of that and then take me into arbitration, we would, again, both have to agree on an arbitrator, and we would want to do that because the arbitrators would be reliable, they would be honest, they'd be, again, competing for those factors. And so we would agree to the arbitrator, we'd sign an agreement saying we agreed to accept whatever the decision is as it is handed down, and then you'll present your evidence that proves that you own the bicycle, and I'll present whatever I have that proves that I own it, and the arbitrator will make the decision. And that's where it'll end. Now, if the arbitrator decides that it's your bike, Mark, and I don't give it back to you, then I've broken my contract with the arbitrator, and that's going to be a nice little black mark against my reputation rating, and who knows what other penalties might come from disobeying the arbitration ruling. So, actually, in the marketplace, there would be better ways to prove ownership. There would be competition as far as ways to prove ownership, because in certain areas, people are going to want to prove that they own things. Therefore, the marketplace will come up with innovative ways to help people do that. 800-259-9231. Let's talk to Lee in Montana, listening on KGEZ. Hello, Lee.
Hello.
Hey, what's on your mind, Lee?
Oh, well, I was just going to say, the private police is... Yeah, pretty good idea.
Excellent.
It's
nice when we agree on things, Lee.
Well, it happens. You guys are so close. You just don't have the whole scenario,
What do you like the most about the private police idea?
Well, you kind of summed it up with, they would reinstate the serve and protect. They were yeah. there to serve.
Well, if you
and
weren't
protect.
Being protected, if you weren't being served, you'd go hire somebody else, and that would make all the difference in the world when it comes
it
to these services.
It would be a free enterprise at its best.
Exactly, Lee. Thanks for the call, dude. 800-259-9231. We'll talk to Sean on the way, and your calls as well, ladies. First, if you make the call, 800-259-9231. This is Free Talk Live.
Can you hear that? It's the Federal Reserve stealing your savings. It's time for you to inflation-proof your money. Get America's second most popular currency, the Liberty Dollar, 100% backed and 100% redeemable in gold and silver. It's been America's inflation-proof currency since 1998. Use the Liberty Dollar to make money, do good, and have fun. Get it at a discount and use it at a profit. Stop being ripped off. Start using the Liberty Dollar and return America to value, $1 at a time. Call 888-LIB-DOLLAR or visit libertydollar.org.
Formaldehyde, boric acid, styrene, butadiene, TDI. These are just some of the chemicals used to make conventional mattresses. Is this what you want to be breathing every night? Scientists worry about these chemicals' effects on the developing brains of children, but they're not good for anybody, especially people with allergies. Latex mattresses made by SavvyRest are made of natural latex rubber with no off-gassing chemicals, and dust mites can't live in them. Go to SavvyRest.com and buy a latex mattress today. SavvyRest.com for the sleep you've been dreaming of.
Ted Anders from Midas. November 27, 2007. Gold, 811, 20-ounce gold coins could be purchased for $835.58, $411.80 for half, $205.90 for quarter. That's $835.58, $411.80, and $205.90. Hedge funds caught in the malaise of mortgage bankruptcies. The bond market continues to slump. J.P. Morgan gets caught in a $10 billion bad deal for Chrysler. Housing sales fell 6.6%. Mortgage giant Countrywide showed mortgage payment woes spreading to the middle and upper class. Investors cast out on investment banks. Credit protection insurance for mortgage lenders are skyrocketing due to the increased risk. The U.S. dollar is free-falling against foreign currencies, and countries that previously financed the U.S. are now seeking safer alternatives. Economist Rudy Boyd published the report, Bubble Leaking. Call for the report today, 800-686-2237. The value of your hard-earned money is being lost in a global game of chess. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful, attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Hi, Ken. It's Judy again. I just wanted to call you back and let you know how thankful Mike and I are for your working with us. You know the Sun Oven we ordered from you on KenSolar.com? It cooks all of our food and then some. Plus, we just sold the old gas barbecue. Also, the solar-powered generator reduced our electric bill just like you said it would, and it's powering my whole studio right now. We don't have to worry about our food going bad or surviving the outages anymore, either of which is huge. Well, Ken, I'll cut this one short for now, and thanks again. Go, Ken Solar!
Get the best of both worlds. Solar power for your household essentials and a backup generator all in one. Perfect for hurricane seasons. No long gas lines, no fumes, and no noise. Lower your electric bill and be prepared year-round. Complete solar kits for under $1,200. See the complete solar power generator kit at kensolar.com. Order your solar power generator from Ken's website at kensolar.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com. This is Free Talk Live. It's your show. You can bring up whatever you like. Toll-free 800-259-9231. The SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Toby. and Mark.
1-800-259-9231. You can join us on our website, by the way, at freetalklive.com. All the features there for free. So if you've missed a moment of the show, grab an archive. Grab a whole bunch of them. We've got an entire year's worth of the show right there on the front page of the website for your downloading convenience for free at freetalklive.com. And Sound Money is under attack. The Liberty Dollar offices were raided by the FBI and Secret Service on November 14th. All of its precious metals, computers, and records were seized. Your help is urgently needed. Go to LibertyDollar.org and sign up for their updates and register for the class action lawsuit. Don't let government steal your money and destroy the Liberty Dollar. Go to LibertyDollar.org. As we go to the phones, to the fun, talk to Sean in Montana listening on KGEZ. Hello, Sean.
Hello, how are you doing?
Hey, great. What's on your mind?
Well, I was listening to you about privatizing the police forces.
Yeah, I like the term marketizing better, but okay.
Marketizing? Yeah, privatizing does have a bad taste.
Sure.
But we do have a marketized police force. It's called Blackwater. They were operating when in Katrina's hurricane, and they were confiscating guns from private citizens.
Was Blackwater doing that? I knew that the National Guard and the California Highway Patrol were doing that.
Yep, and they have over 10, I think it's 10 million, but I don't think it'd be 10 billion, but 10 million contracts to the U.S. government.
Yeah, well, that's the problem with privatizing.
In America.
Yeah, that's the problem. You've just identified what the problem with privatizing is. When you the term privatize usually entails taking a government function and having the government decide which private company will do that government function from here on out. It has nothing to do with the marketplace. Or consumer demand.
Giving it to one person? Just giving it to one company? Is that what the difference is?
Crony capitalism. You have essentially people rewarding their friends and punishing their enemies with government contracts. You know, these sweetheart deals.
This would what I'm proposing here would be to simply just to make it so the government police agency no longer is coercively funded, meaning they're not funded through tax dollars. They would have to make their own money on a voluntary basis, and that would mean they wouldn't be able to enforce these silly consensual crime laws like the war on drugs or gambling or prostitution or again silly traffic infractions and that sort of thing, because you'd have to be under a contract for that, and you wouldn't be.
Would it be like a contract to say and just pull a name out of the hat, Walmart contracts with these guys to secure their parking lot kind of thing?
Yeah, sure, that could be an option. Neighborhoods would be able to contract, individuals would be able to contract, certainly.
Well, I that does sound interesting. I was confused.
Yeah, I think it's an awful idea to privatize in the way that government bureaucrats would deem one company to be the exclusive provider of whatever the product or service is, because then you still have the monopoly situation. You still have them enforcing these bad government laws, whereas if you're doing it in a marketplace, it's consumer satisfaction that is the number one priority, as opposed to just blindly enforcing arbitrary government laws. And so we're talking about a totally different situation than what we have today. It wouldn't look at all like what we have today, and I think it would be wonderfully different.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to that being developed.
Thanks, Sean.
Okay.
We're working on it. Appreciate your call. 800-259-9231. Answering some questions from an email from Ezra, who is concerned about this whole privatizing justice privatizing, bad word, marketizing justice, getting it out of the hands of government. He asks, well, what about a private army? He says it hardly seems the way to go. Well, I don't know about that. In fact, it would seem to me that the government military does a whole lot more to start trouble around the world than to protect America. I mean, certainly, again, you could improve the government military by bringing them home from the 130 countries they're currently occupying, the 700-plus military bases, selling those, closing them.
Right. That's sort of where I come in on this. I would like to see the United States military inside the United States, the Department of Defense actually defending the United States, not going out and securing the rulership of all kinds of kings and despotic leaders all over the world, which is essentially what we're doing when we support Saudi Arabia. That guy's a king.
But even then, you still enter into problems. You still have problems of this is still a bureaucracy.
Sure.
Just because they're dressed in camo doesn't make them any less bureaucratic.
And I would take that army and I would pare it down to to a small, essentially a training force. If you were in the army, you would be one bad mamma jamma. Okay? You would be the equivalent of a Navy SEAL or a Green Beret, and likely would call them things like that in order to, you know, pass on that that sort of title. It's a great thing. And what they would do is they'd go around, if I had my world vision, we would have militias. Every local area would have its own militia, its own little armory, and those people would be responsible for protecting their own communities. And the army, which would be a mostly a training force, would go around and train these local militias that would, in fact, protect the United States.
And you can better believe there would be no shortage of people that would be interested in joining things like that. No shortage whatsoever.
What I like best about the idea of privatizing the army is that it would be impossible for a private organization to go around and police the world like we do today. So
that's
what I really like about it. It would finally bring us home and get us away from all these military bases around the world and enforcing and propping up other people's kings and stuff and making people really hate us.
Well, the other side of the military equation is the money, of course. And the reason why a private organization couldn't afford to go and nation build and invade other countries is because it would be cost prohibitive. I mean, we can't afford it today. When I say we, I mean the U.S. government. The U.S. government can't afford it today. That's why they have to print the money out in order to make it happen, which, of course, is essentially a hit in tax. It's called inflation, and it taxes my savings and your savings as well in order to fund this military that is all around the world. Without the fiat dollar, without the printing press at the disposal of the government, and also having these private defense organizations around, again, they would only be effective at defending as opposed to going around starting crap around the world. Now, that would not preclude someone from going and starting some crap with, you know, some other country if they wanted to, but it would be a fool's errand. I mean, they would be throwing money down a hole. They'd be putting their family in jeopardy. For instance, if, Mark, you decided that, you know, you hate the people over in, oh, I don't know, Darfur or something like that, and you want to just go and join a military and kill them, or maybe hire some mercenaries to go and kill some people over there.
The Utus are handling that for me.
But my point being, if you felt like that's something you wanted to spend your money on, you wouldn't be stopped. No one would prevent you from doing that. It'd be foolish, because then everybody would know that, you know, Mark Edge is funding this team of mercenaries to go in to kill people around the world, and eventually that might come back to bite you in the butt. You know, a little bad karma there. And also, when it comes to government militaries, you have to ask yourself, if indeed there were an invasion, let's say the government military was actually here in America, which it's not today, but let's say it was. If there were an invasion, do you think the government military is going to be more interested in protecting government installations or your home?
Right. You know, that's what it does, is, you know, the United States Army protects the United States government. It doesn't protect the United States people. You know, maybe as a result, but I could make some arguments against it having done much of that at all.
Yeah, I think one thing that's really protecting another nation from invading us, Second Amendment.
Absolutely. Armed individual Americans is what helps keep America safe,
yeah.
Not the U.S.
Fight
military.
A land war in the United States.
800-259-9231. You can, again, bring up whatever's on your mind, marketizing the police, getting them out of the hands of government, justice, and all the rest. To talk about it, take your calls as well. This is Free Talk Live.
Yes, there is an in-dash AM/FM shortwave radio. For a limited time and in limited numbers, the Sony GT160S AM/FM shortwave radio and CD player is available only at the Power Hour. This radio is designed to eliminate interference from ignition systems, and the result is clear, clean reception, so you can hear your favorite broadcasts both domestically and internationally. Get your Sony AM/FM shortwave radio and CD player from the Power Hour today. Call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. $2.99 to order. Only $249 plus shipping and handling, and we'll ship it right to you. There's even an input to plug in an external source. Your MP3 player, your iPod, your DVD player, or any other source will sound great through your new Sony receiver. These radios are not available anywhere else and for a limited time, so call now. Dial 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 and get your Sony GT160S AM/FM shortwave radio and CD player from the Power Hour.
Attention, this is Jack Blood with an urgent GCN news bulletin. Do you desperately need to get out of debt fast? Would you like to make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're a GCN listener, there is a very real chance you will now be able to do it. Here's why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're cheating, but they're not cheating. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Learn how to finally teach financial vultures some humility by beating them at their own game, and above all, learn how to bail out for a soft landing. Get control, get relief, get some sleep. Go to www.outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com, or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365.
Is your child protected for the future? Gerber Life Insurance Company offers you a way to help protect your child through its Grow Up Plan. It's a $5,000 whole life insurance policy that costs less than 20 cents a day. When your child is 21, that protection doubles automatically to $10,000 with no increase in premiums. So call now for your free information package. Call 1-800-555-1212. It's a free call for free information only. There is no obligation. Remember, any healthy child 12 and under is eligible to apply for the Grow Up Plan. When you decide to apply, no medical exam is necessary. Just answer a few questions. Help give your child a head start on the future today. Call 1-800-462-0425 for your free information kit, the Gerber Life Grow Up Plan. Call 1-800-462-0425. That's 1-800-462-0425. Call 1-800-462-0425.
Storable food. Storable food. HempUSA.org has an inexpensive, nutritionally dense, high-frequency food. Hemp, known around the world, will boost your immune system and increase energy levels. Detoxifies the body and reduces junk food cravings. Burns fat and builds muscle. And is easy to digest, non-allergenic, and gluten-free. Can be made into smoothies, breads, muffins, pancakes, cookies, you name it. The entire planet should make this a staple food in their diet. The seeds will scrape the colon wall. The powder will feed the body vital minerals. And the oil will clean the arterial walls and feed the brain. Try our powder, seeds, and oil today. Call 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org. That's 908-691-2608 at hempusa.org. Remember, vacuum packaging this food will have at least a 5-year shelf life stored in a cool, dark, dry place. Holidays are coming, and this would make a perfect gift for friends and family. Call today, 908-691-2608 at hempusa.org. And remember, let your food be your medicine, and your medicine be your food.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything. Toll free, 800-259-9231. That's the Central CAI toll free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Toby.
And Mark. 1-800-259-9231. Join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features there, completely free. So enjoy those on us, including the wiki. Get interactive with over 1,450 pages of information created by listeners just like you. You can go and edit the wiki to your heart's content. wiki.freetalklive.com is the location of that. American Consumer News is an online magazine which will provide you with a steady stream of money-saving tips to help get you closer to financial freedom. The magazine discusses topics such as investing, real estate, frugality, debt reduction, and more. That's AmericanConsumerNews.com. AmericanConsumerNews.com. As we go to the phones, talk to Rudy in Montana, listening on KGEZ. Hello, Rudy.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, great. What's
I wanted to talk. Well, I wanted to just have a little opinion about the privatizing of the police force.
Certainly. Go ahead.
I mean, when you have you privatize it, first off, the company that owns that is going to want to make money. And, of course, if you look at most of your security firms, the ones who carry weapons also, don't pay much. Have you focused on the airport lately? I mean, these people, you know, not all of them, but the quality of people are not there.
Well, that's because most of the higher quality ones want to go on to the higher paying jobs, which are in the police force, right?
Exactly.
Right. So I would think that there would be, you know, if the police weren't culling off the best of the best by offering artificially high wages for police officers, that there would be somebody who would come along who would offer slightly higher, somewhat higher wages, and therefore get the people that were interested in doing police work and, you know, not people that are just interested in having government jobs.
I've been around for a while, and I haven't seen, when you privatize it, it always comes down to the dollar. All right, it all comes down to how much money can we make. And they're not going to pay the police officers as well. That's just my opinion.
I would concur with you completely that likely police officers that were working for these, you know, private police firms, which I'm not saying I advocate this, you know, Ian is, but likely they would get paid less than they currently are because the fact is...
Well, now, hold on a second. That might depend on the kind of job they're doing. For instance, if they're working for an insurance company investigating a murderer, they might get, you know, as a detective, they might be getting paid more than, say, you know, your average Joe driving around a security car around a neighborhood. So it'll depend on the job.
Well, that's true, but bottom line is, in security work, they don't pay enough money. It's nationwide.
But if you wanted good security, you would pay more, and therefore the good companies would compensate. How about security guards?
Theoretically, you're correct.
Well, no, I'm not just theoretically. In the real world, I'm correct, too. If, for instance, when you're talking about bodyguards for celebrities and things like that, they pay very well, and they get the very best people.
Well, they're not police officers, okay? If you're going to another realm.
Well, No.
We're talking about security companies, sir. We're not talking about just taking the government police department and giving it over to one company. We're talking about taking the role of policing out of the hands of government and putting it into the marketplace where an unlimited amount of companies could contract and could compete to provide those services.
Well,
so I don't know if we're on the same page at all.
I think we are, but I believe it wouldn't work as well as it's working now. And I don't like the government as a general rule,
mm-hmm.
and everything the government does, they have a tendency to mess things up.
Yep, I have to agree with you.
You think that the marketplace can't handle policing and protection as well as the government can, sir?
Well, I really don't think so.
Go ahead. Give me some reasons why.
Well, I was in the military for 12 years. I have a little understanding how the government works. I'm not an expert. I got a little exposure to them. And, you know, I was a professional soldier. I'm not talking police, but I was a professional soldier. And I wasn't paid a lot of money, but I did it for my own reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do it for the money. And so when you involve money, okay, a lot of times it can people go in there for the wrong reasons.
But you just told me, you just told me that people would get paid less. So wouldn't that mean that the people that would be going into those professions would be going in for the right reasons because they'd be getting paid less?
Well, you know, it's possible, but not everybody. When I was in, it was different. It was different. Times have changed the last 20 years, and I just don't think it's going to work. And bottom line is the Second Amendment, you know, allows us to keep and bear arms. And I will tell you right now, the neighborhood I live in, everyone's got a gun. In fact, they probably got 12 or 15 of them.
Yeah, I bet there's not a lot of crime either.
Right, so you don't really need to hire a lot of protection, which means that you probably won't need anything more than just a little bit of insurance to protect the things in your home and protect your home in general and maybe some insurance in case something traumatic happens to your family. You probably won't need a lot of actual protection services.
My responsibility as the man of the house, okay, is to protect my family. I have the means and the knowledge to protect them. I'm not asking the government or anyone else to protect me.
Good, because they probably can't protect them as well as you can.
Well, no, the police aren't there to protect you.
Nope.
They're there for the public, okay?
And they're there for the government.
Well, yeah. But what I'm trying to say is if everybody really believed the police officers are there to protect you, we'd all have a police officer standing in front of our door.
Right. So, the cops come and clean up messes.
They take reports. They're paper pushers.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not fair.
Right,
as a general rule, they take the report. Your item is gone, and that's the way it is.
Right. You know, most of the time, that's what they end up doing. I'm sure that those fine guys in the uniforms would throw themselves in front of a bullet for me if they had the opportunity. But chances are they won't be anywhere near that bullet when it's coming at me, so they won't have the opportunity because there's simply not enough of them. And that's one of the reasons that I don't know about, you know, the wages that cops get. Sometimes it seems like they get a whole lot.
They do. They get paid well. My personal opinion, where I'm at right now, I have absolutely no qualms with the police force, sheriff's department, or the police force here. They're not the best I've seen, but they're polite. They do the best they can. I mean, besides that, we all got guns, so they got to be polite. So,
right.
You know.
That's what I hope for from my police force too. And I have some, have some concerns, just like you do, about the idea of privatizing the police force, but. And I think my largest concern is people just don't believe it will work.
Well, look, I don't care what you believe. The fact is, if people are demanding services, they will be provided in the marketplace. You can believe what you want, but if people want certain things, people in search of profit will absolutely provide them, and they'll provide them on a voluntary basis, which is the way things should be offered. I mean, sir, do you actually think that government services should be offered at the point of a gun?
Should the government service be offered at the point of a gun?
Right. No. They're forcing you to pay for it.
No, yes, you are. You're correct. I mean, we have to pay taxes, you know, to pay for the
right. That's what needs to change. Would you disagree with that?
Well, if you want to go that route, we'll be able to eliminate the IRS. We can go into the subject. I mean, as far as government goes, but yes, I don't agree that we should have to be taxed. Well, who's going to pay for it anyway?
It's going for
a private police force.
People that want it. If people want it, now you sound like you don't need it. You've got guns in your house. You seem pretty confident that you can protect your family. You probably wouldn't need to hire services like that. You might buy some insurance for some of the things in your home in case you get stolen from while you guys are out on a vacation or something like that. But otherwise, I mean, what other things are you going to get? I mean, what else is going to happen?
I'm not laughing at you. You say vacation. I mean, we just work all the time. But, five jobs. But anyways, bottom line is, it's up to the citizen. It's their responsibility to take care of their family and protect their home. And
absolutely it is. And getting the government out of this the world of protection would hammer that home for everybody. Instead of thinking that there's this government out there to keep you safe, you'd have to know that you have to provide for your own safety. And if you couldn't handle that, then you should hire someone who can handle it. That's all I'm saying. Let's let the marketplace handle these things and let competition come into play for the first time ever. I mean, competition usually revolutionizes industries by forcing companies to innovate and come up with new, fresh ideas. Government doesn't have to come up with new ideas. They've been doing the same old crap decade after decade.
That's true. I mean, if a community needs it, then they don't have any guns or too afraid of a gun. Then they need to hire somebody,
Exactly.
Somebody.
You should be able to choose whether or not you need this protection services. If you don't need it, then go it yourself. Thanks for the call, dude. 800-259-9231. I mean, the fact is, most people don't. You know, most people, locks on the front door and a gun in the bedroom is enough for them. Now, that's not to say that you won't have to have some sort of insurance to, again, protect your valuables and that sort of thing. I could certainly see that, or life insurance policies and medical insurance in case of some sort of freak accident or getting into a fight with someone. But these are all things that can be settled through arbitration. More coming up. This is Free Talk Live.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronic, photo, cell phone, office product, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supply, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, a great deal, delivery to your door, and a percentage of your purchase will go to Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon through Amazon.freetalklive.com.
There are many paths you can take in the pursuit of liberty. The fastest avenue to real political change is being paved by the Republican Liberty Caucus. Join Representatives Ron Paul, Jeff Flake, and dozens of state legislators in advancing the ideals of individual rights, limited government, and private enterprise within the GOP. The Republican Liberty Caucus, online at rlc.org. That's rlc.org. Your path to liberty.
I'm Joyce Riley, and many of you know that for years I was a cardiovascular heart transplant nurse. Since that time, I've educated myself on the importance of preventative care and cardio maintenance. It all begins with providing your heart and vascular system with the building blocks for good health. Strauss Heart Drops were developed by Jim Strauss after he suffered a heart attack in 1979. His doctor said he would only survive if he had heart bypass surgery. As a seventh-generation herbalist, Jim knew that there were herbs that had a long tradition of heart, blood, and circulation properties, and that there had to be another option besides going under the knife. Jim said no and began working on a formula to better himself and others. After he perfected the mixture of herbs and spices, he created Strauss Heart Drops. Get the Strauss Heart Drops 4-ounce bottle for only $79.95. Call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Now you really can do your heart right with Strauss Heart Drops.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer, and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning, and the poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now, it's cancer's turn to die with LaceMed Inc.'s patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267 or visit www.lasemedinc.com. Call 702-953-0267. In this jungle called life, only the tiger survives. So says the armchair survivalist Kurt Wilson, owner of Survival Enterprises. Kurt talks common sense about food storage, health care, firearms and weaponry, security, urban and wilderness survival techniques, and the simple things we can all do to help us and our loved ones survive when bad times hit. Learn to be one step ahead of the crowd in everyday situations. The armchair survivalist is geared for the rest of us who don't have unlimited funds to buy land, a cabin, build a bunker, or buy all the expensive survival supplies that would come in handy. He shows you how to work smarter, not harder. For over 25 years, Kurt has been helping people prepare for hard times. The Armchair Survivalist is sure to be an informative, entertaining, and educational talk show, with Kurt not only sharing his vast level of survival knowledge, but taking your calls as well. Listen to The Armchair Survivalist, Saturdays at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time on the GCN Radio Network.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can take control of the airwaves toll-free at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Toby.
And Mark.
1-800-259-9231. Join us on our website at freetalklive.com. Features for free. If you like the show, you want to help support Free Talk Live, then go shopping with us at the Free Talk Live store. We've got Free Talk Live merchandise, very high-quality stuff, like T-shirts and hats, hoodies. We've got the bottle opener, lighter combo, also DVD classic archive collector sets, and more. You'll find it all at store.freetalklive.com, and you can learn how you can get a free bumper sticker as well. That's store.freetalklive.com. And your mattress was likely manufactured using all kinds of disturbing chemicals. Does that bother you? It bothers some scientists, especially in the case of young children. Savvy Rest mattresses are made of 100% natural latex rubber, organic wool, and organic cotton. Try their crib mattresses, too. SavvyRest.com for the sleep you've been dreaming of. That's SavvyRest.com. Still in the middle of an email here, questions, good questions, about market police. Now, I want to make it clear that I'm not talking about privatizing the police. I'm not talking about taking the government monopoly on policing and giving it to a private company so they can have a monopoly on policing. I'm talking about introducing competition in the marketplace into the service of protection services. And that, of course, would change the face of policing forever. The police would actually be interested in serving their customers instead of putting them in handcuffs. Now, if there was someone who was actually causing harm to others or damaging property, obviously the police are going, you know, private police would do what they had to in order to correct that situation, remove that person from danger and you know, restore the peace, which is what we want from our police officers. We want them to be peace officers. I don't want them to be law enforcers, because when they're law enforcers like they are today, they're just out enforcing arbitrary, stupid laws that the government people pass in the legislature, and that does not help us.
Well, what about the good laws, like, not stealing from people, not killing people, that kind of thing?
You don't need laws for that. Though, I mean, it's clear that there's a wronged party in those instances, in which case then
you
can bring charges.
And that stuff happens. It happens every day here in the United States. What are you going to do with those people?
What are you going to do with the criminals in those cases? Well, I guess it would depend on the person and how dangerous they were and what the circumstances were. I think many people that that talk about the marketplace and market protection and prisons and that sort of thing point out that in most instances, these are people that aren't going to need to go to a prison unless they're absolutely, completely antisocial and, you know, dangerous that they might kill somebody
else. There are people like that.
Very few. You know, many crimes are committed in the heat of passion, and many of the people that commit those crimes regret them afterwards. And essentially, in the marketplace, under arbitration, they would have to make good. There would have to be restitution. And restitution is something we could bring about in the government system as well. It doesn't happen enough today, and it needs to happen more. So they would have to pay their victims back, essentially. And it would be easier for them to continue on in whatever they're doing today, whatever job that is, whatever their current career is, and just simply, you know, essentially have the arbitrator garnish a percentage of their wages and send it to the victim, that sort of thing. That would probably be how most of it would be handled, unless you really did have a dangerous individual, in which case, you know, he or she would have given up his or her right to freedom by attacking another person, and therefore would be put away for that.
Well, some people commit violent crimes and, you know, regret them. They learn to do better. They, you know, some kind of restitution would likely handle that situation, but I do think that there's a small number of people out there that are just insane. They're just crazy, awful people, and they need to be locked up.
Absolutely, and there would certainly be facilities for that.
Mm-hmm.
And in the cases of those people getting locked up, they would be given the opportunity to probably make some money while they were in prison. Again, most of that would have to go to their victims, but a percentage would go to the prison as well in order to help them cover operating costs, because, you know, again, in a world without government, the prisons would have to be self-sustaining organizations. They wouldn't be getting government.
Most of our prisons now are filled with people who haven't hurt anyone. You know, they're drug criminals, you know, possession and that kind of thing. And a lot of them wouldn't have done anything if it wasn't for being in the throes of their addictions.
They did something,
they stole something, or they did something violent in order to get the money for their addiction.
Right, and what we're also doing when we're locking people up that don't necessarily deserve to be locked up, we're throwing them in with the bad
people. With the real bad guys,
and then, so are we getting people out that are rehabilitated? I don't think so. Not for the most part. A lot of the time it does work of sitting in front of how...
Right. I went to prison for 9 years, and I don't know if I was rehabilitated. Maybe I was rehabilitated. A lot of these guys haven't been habilitated, let alone rehabilitated, so they don't know anything. And, you know, our system of taking bad people, putting them in a bad place, and treating them badly, and then expecting them to get out and act well after that it's a foolish system. But I think that there's a lot in what Ian said as far as restitution.
Yes.
Number six, continuing with some questions here from Ezra. He says, who polices the police? Who decides that the police have done something wrong? Who does now? Exactly. In some cities, there are citizens review boards for the police, but they have very, very little power and can do very little other than make a little bit of noise, in which case then
I get a story every single day. I could read you a story every single day about police abuse of power in this country. I'm not saying it's across the board. I'm not saying it's systemic, but I would say that to some extent there's an incentive for police departments to be corrupt. They have a monopoly privilege on the use of violence. I don't know if we can do without them. I certainly think that we would go one huge step for handling some of the problems we have in law enforcement in this country and the disintegration of the Fourth Amendment by just going ahead and legalizing drugs across the board.
Let's look at who polices the police today. Now, for the most part, it's the consumers and the media, right? If the police do something outrageous and someone happens to catch it on video, that usually makes it to the news.
Right, well, there's internal investigations, too.
We'll touch on that.
Okay.
That usually makes it to the news, and it stirs up some hubbub, and, you know, there's some stories that come out, and attention is drawn to the issue. The police department commissioner usually comes out and says, we understand this is a bad situation.
We're going to put this under investigation. We'll put a blue ribbon panel. You can believe that this officer will be on paid leave behind a desk.
Right.
For the entirety of this investigation.
Right.
We're taking this very seriously. We consider the people's well-being to be very important.
So the people in the community have the ability to make a lot of noise. They have the ability to draw some level of pressure down onto the government police department. But that's usually where it ends, because then it's in the hands of the very same police that you are questioning, the very same police that are problematic. It's in their their hands to punish themselves. There is nothing over top of the police, and so typically they give the bad guys the, you know, their paid leave, and then they come back and they find out, their investigative panel comes back, and 9 times out of 10 they say, well, it looks like everything here's by the book, everything's just fine, no problems here.
Yep.
Okay, you guys
their
are back on the job.
The officer was justified in mowing down the crowd of civilians.
So there is no police.
They were black, after all.
And the fact is, you know, somebody could say, well, what about internal affairs? Well, they can be corrupt, too. How many levels of internal affairs can you put on a police department?
If, you know, if you're if you're the chief of police and, you know, when you go and appoint these IA guys and that kind of thing, do you want them to find a whole bunch of problems in your department?
No. Not at all. So then we ask, well, what about in the marketplace paradigm where we have competing organizations providing protection? In that case, you still have the consumers in the news media that can out bad guys, that can point to wrongs that are happening with these companies if they are indeed doing wrong and somehow harming their customers. And then the customers will police the police by saying, hey, you either shape up or we're taking our business across town. And so either the business will get it together and they'll fire the bad employee, or they'll change their policies to not be so offensive. And if they don't, they'll lose their business.
I don't even know if what you're talking about is really police, though. I mean, it's mostly what you're talking about is a private security company. You know, like you're talking
protection,
about
private protection,
dissolving the police. And
no, I'm talking about turning them over to a voluntarily funded situation. And if they can figure out how to make money, then they should.
I think that some of the things that define police is tax money. You know, the fact that they can use force on people without their permission.
You can change the wording if you want. I mean, we can call it something different.
I just don't think it's police.
Well, the fact is, what we're talking about is protection services.
And police are a relatively new phenomenon in the world. Somehow or another, we managed to make it without police.
We're talking
for a long
about
time.
What people actually want from the police. They want to feel safe. They want to have someone they can call on if they feel that it's necessary. These are the things that people want from the police. They don't want the police coming around arresting their friends and family members for doing drugs. They don't want the police harassing them for running a stop sign. They don't want the police doing most of the things they do.
I think that they want a certain amount of enforcement as far as traffic laws go. I mean,
most people speed, Mark, and I don't think most people like speeding tickets.
Look,
so I think that's not what they really want the cops there for.
Please, I've been in a neighborhood and people go too quickly down my road. I want people, if at the very least, I want them to go the speed limit on my road.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, so you can put in some speed bumps, Mark, and then you can deal with that if that's what the issue is. So my point here is that
I'm wondering if you had a private security company for the people driving down the road, and I actually put in, motion-sensitive machine guns that shot anybody that went 31 miles an hour.
Don't think that would cut it. I don't.
I would have my own private police company that would be able to protect me. I was enforcing the rules of the community.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say to that, Mark. That's pretty nuts. So 800-259-9231.
People.
I guess as long as you let people know in advance that there were machine guns trained on them when they're driving on your road, that'd be okay. More on the way. It's Free Talk Live.
Let's face it. The political landscape today is all about blaming the other guy. Democrats blame Republicans. Republicans blame Democrats. But I've got to say, at least they're throwing rocks in the right direction. We libertarians are good about fighting amongst ourselves. It's time to pick a candidate, a serious candidate for president, and start moving forward. That candidate is George Phillies.
This is George Phillies, Libertarian for President. I approved of this message, paid for by Phillies 2008.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Over the years, Genesis Communications Network has grown by leaps and bounds, reaching millions of listeners. The impact on political and social issues have been enormous. Businesses associated with the network have grown to become valuable enterprises. If you are accredited and have an entrepreneurial spirit, national radio may be the opportunity you're looking for. Call me today at 877-996-4327, extension 101. For more information, that's 877-996-4327, extension 101.
Spy.